Darla Collinette joins us on the Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network. How are you today, Darla?
I'm doing great. How about
you? You know, that's amazing to hear you say doing great today is in short supply. Thank you for bringing some great. We love great on Monday. Monday can be very overwhelming for people. And we're going in on a really heavy subject here. So my gratitude before we begin.
Well, you're more than welcome.
The Harvey Weinstein, just those syllables now, it kind of creep people out. It really was like back in the Monica Lewinsky days. Why do I have to know this name? Why do I have to know this behavior? You know, the media really drowns you in the most salacious fragments. They rarely try to put a story into context. It's an avalanche of the over. Okay, so here we are, and if inevitably, you know this, I've been on the air for decades, inevitably someone will chime in. I don't understand why they put up with this. Why did they stay there? Why did they work for him? Why did they stay married to these people? Why are they saying they worked it out? How do you work out this kind of crazy, violent, physical abuse, etc.? And today, you and I are going to talk about why this is perhaps the worst question to ask. Why is that the wrong question?
It's the wrong question to ask because it would be the same question to ask you why you do the same things you do every day. So when we're younger, none of us have perfect parents by any means. None of us are perfect parents. And so a lot of our hurts and, what do I want to say, damages come from the parents, not as an excuse, but it's just the reality of life. We begin to do what we know in life, and therefore all of those values of who we are and what we think as okay to put up with comes with us.
Well, let me try and frame it in a way,
yes.
Right, that... And this is, I think, instructive, maybe annoying for you a little bit. Thank you for putting up with me. But, you know, half of this equation is men understanding this. Men who,
yes.
who hate Harvey Weinstein. I still hate Bill Clinton. I know that's over the top. That's my problem now, this many years later, that when I
yes.
see him, I don't like him. Like, I don't like people I know for sure did this. Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
I used to worship
yeah.
this guy. Can't like him now.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I love his work.
Mm-hmm.
But so I got
mm-hmm.
a thing going
yeah.
on here. So I'm going to frame it like a guy. A guy grows up my age. I'm in my 60s now. All right, 61. So I'm born in the mid-50s. We grew up in an era where there was evil in the world. Movies about the Nazis, the Japanese, whatever you have. But also, I grew up in the Bronx. People got stabbed. People got shot. People got hung off of billboards. It was a very rough, rough world out there. So we were
yes.
taught as boys, and I can't imagine it wouldn't be magnified for a girl, but certainly the boy was told, don't always think you can hold the fort. You have got to get out of there, live to fight another day. You must run, even if you want to take the five guys on. You run survival, fight or flight. So many guys look at the relationships that we're talking about, and you say, you know, it's not the right thing for me to say, but if she got up in the middle of the night while he was asleep, split him in half with a baseball bat, I'll give her probation and she can go back to work. That will not be a crime. Vice versa, if a guy wakes up and he finds the jewel thief is raping his wife and he's got the drop on the guy, he just puts one in the back of the guy's head. So men are either, get out of there, this is not going to happen to me, or I'm going to kill you right here for this. So through that prism, men start to say, this is troubling to us. That the power, you know, his dominating voice, the threat of another beating, the threat of him playing Russian roulette in front of the kids, you know, all these horrible stories that we see on TV, that the threat of that inhibits women from accessing their fight or flight. Kill him, and you're safe, and call the police, and I killed him, and here's why. Or he doesn't even know I'm out of the house. I'm 5 miles away by the time he gets to that liquor cabinet. Help men understand those scenarios don't work for some reason.
Okay, so one of the things you have to separate too is men who have a moral compass, who have grown up in environments where they value women. In other words, you didn't see your dad smack your mom, you didn't see him threaten your mom, you didn't see him, you know, do these horrible things to your mom. So there was a value of women established. You have this group of men. You have another group of men where it was okay to shove your mom, you know, if you get mad, or I blew up and I threw things across the room and accidentally hit her or whatever, and that was okay. So you grow up with two separate moral compasses, and you determine that, well, as long as I'm good most of the time and just blow up once in a while, it's okay. So you have this prism of men, two different walks here. Then you have the same issue with women. If women were valued when they were growing up, then they tend to push away from that because they realize that's wrong.
All right,
but
so let me.
You've got a whole generation of women that haven't been.
Now, I got you. I got you. But how? All right. I don't want to oversimplify, but I want the audience to be able to follow along, right? We don't want to get too complex, but easy examples. Lizzie Borden, Dolores Claiborne. You know what I mean? There's always been some tough broad. I don't care if it was Eve's sister-in-law. There's, and I don't use the word pejoratively. There's always been a tough gal who will flex up with the boys and punch him right out. And I don't get why that's not the a predominant...
The norm.
Yeah. Thank you. Why isn't that the norm? In these circumstances, I don't mean like every 2 seconds of their life. I mean, you know, under rape, under murder, under beating, under watching your... You feel it coming. He's screaming at the kids. He's slamming doors. He's coming near you. You know, how are we not going for the pistol? He comes in the room, two in the head, and your Honor, I'm innocent.
Not too long ago, in fact, I think it was last week in Aurora, I live near Denver, in Aurora, there was a woman who had left her husband. This was been going on, but she had left him, been gone away from him, and he came back and killed her. The reality for women in this situation, the statistics are just mind-boggling as far as when women fight back, what happens to them if they don't make that, you know, kill shot. But if they do make it, they go to prison. Their children are taken from them. They're placed in foster care. So you have this whole cycle of the children have nobody. So you also have to look at where the woman is at and what she's protecting. If she's protecting her children, she will die protecting her children. She will do whatever it takes to, you know, make sure they're okay. And then you have the other aspect, too, of financial, which is 98% of the reason why women stay where they're at.
All right. See, this is the thing now. This is where it gets very controversial. And I can just tell you, I've been on the air, as I mentioned, many, many years. And in my early days, we would have some very knockdown, drag-out fights about this very issue. But I'm trying to be older and wiser and see what I can have. Honest, I really am. I'm trying to some kind of osmosis.
Yeah, I hear you.
You hear me. All right, so here we go. Since I was a kid, it was the ERA. That was the big one. Equal and yes. But if you won't fight hard enough and get it, then capitalism says you don't get it. You just might have to stab him. You might have to lie, cheat, and steal like the Kennedys. You might have to do what all the great families did. Behind every fortune is a crime. So you're going to have to stand up, go that. And I feel this is where the difference is between men and women. women, not universally, because I understand the palette of nature. There's every kind of combination you can ever imagine, at least one, because by nature of the Big Bang. But in general, women will not go out there and murder, kill, steal for wealth, shelter, and well-being. Okay, well, that seems to be a character flaw on planet Earth. On planet Earth, that makes you lose. It makes you lose. You're losing.
It can be the challenge that we have, though, too, Ed. Just like you men have challenges to, you know, tap into that more tender side when you're working with your kids, when you're doing other things in your life, when you're talking to your grandparents.
Yeah.
So this is our challenge that we need help with, that people can come alongside and say, hey, you don't have to stay here. It is a process. This is how I got through it. And you know what? If I can do it, you can do it.
You know, I have to thank you, not that we're done, but I just want to make mention that we really are going into such an important subject. And you have a great patience with me, because I think, you know, we're really all trying to end this, but I have always, all right, look, I don't want to tell too much of my personal life, but there were moments that I witnessed in my life where, let's say, a wife was taking what she shouldn't take, and I chimed in. Not necessarily my mother, but close enough that I felt like I could chime in. And I felt like it's Annie Oakley time. Go inside, grab that thing, and put a bullet in this guy. Oh, my God. How could such a thing come out of you? And you know something? I really never felt I was wrong. I just think we have lulled ourselves, women have allowed themselves, I don't know, you know, I'm old school. I think maybe it was the doilies, it's the babies, it's the it's the estrogen, it's the swollen little belly we're all in love with, and the breasts and the hips. I don't know. You know, what do I know? I've been reading all this stuff since I was a kid. You know, what's in my reptile brain, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I would never mess with Xena Warrior Princess. That is not happening in a bank. Even ISIS is not going to mess with the full throttle of her physicality, all trained on killing a bad guy. I don't think you give up any ground at all. But I don't know if there's something in the brain where it's harder for you to pull the trigger because the birth canal is in the same body. Ours is, we have no birthing, you know, that we don't think about. When we're snipering, taking out bad guys, putting holes in heads, you know, we don't we don't flinch.
Yeah.
Okay, I've said enough. Go ahead. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it absolutely makes a difference because of our genetic makeup and the way we can nurture and foster, and that's the way we were created. That's our gift to the world, just as your guys' gift is to kill and to conquer and to protect. The problem happens when those get all cattywampus and upside down, and this is the goal of mine, is to say, wait a minute, we need to stop and we need to reset some things to say, wait, we need to make women valuable again, and women need to fight for their value again instead of devaluing. I'm also of the old school, and I'm also a believer with a relationship with Jesus that just says, you know, we are valuable and we shouldn't be putting ourselves out there showing all our parts that we are devalued. And that creates a whole nother issue that goes on with women too.
Yeah, I'm with you all the way.
We need to, you know, it just opens up a can of worms no matter what way we go.
Well, look, you again, Darla Collinette is our guest. This is an amazing discussion that we're having, really, because October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, but moreover, because she has written about her own story. Now, the memoir comes out next year, so we're going to have to wait to read it. But I want you to know who we're talking to here. It's called Transforming Redemption. It spans a 40-year panoramic view of battles taking place in the mind, heart, and spirit of, we all know you a little bit, a little good Christian kid, right? That good kid on the street. yes, good morning, how are you, respectful, turned into what? An abused teenager and an abused woman. It's a powerful story. The book, Who's Writing Your Life's Story, shows you how to take control of your mind and heart and firmly grasp your life's pen. Jesus has meant a lot to you. You've done so much. Now I get it. I mean, it's starting to come to me now that you can handle all of this. But I do have to say, this is so out of vogue, and you mentioned it. I'm glad you did. I believe I'm not going to lie. I love black mini dresses. When I'm at a club, if there is a micro mini dress and I think she's got next to nothing on underneath it, I will buy this woman a drink and try to bed her down. I'm not going to lie. That's how I was programmed. They're gorgeous. But I also know this is not where I look for a wife-girlfriend relationship. That doesn't come in that package. If somebody's going to bear children, and somebody's going to be true to me, if someone's going to sit there in a rocking chair with me someday, it's not going to be with a micro mini dress and nipple piercings, you know. And we've done this. We've completely sold it that this is how to stay young. This is how to stay happy. And the wreckage is endless. So I'm glad you brought it up.
Is.
I'm glad you brought this up. And that doesn't mean you're not sexy. There's always been elegance.
No.
You can be sexy and elegant in a heartbeat without looking like a $100 bill and you'd be swinging on a pole.
Yes. Yes, and these women that are out there who are struggling with their value, this is the only way they have computed attention,
correct,
love.
Correct.
And so they
correct
do what they know, just like we all do what we know.
And guess what happens when you bring...
it's our turn to make them different.
You got it. Guess what happens when you introduce real love to them? Oh, then it's crazy. What?
Everything.
Look, you get it, Darla. Thank God.
I do.
Bless you for being on the show. I was born I was born in an era, millions of us were, where the rough start of the baby boom, the 1945, 1946, you got to give these people some breathing room. They still have the blood
absolutely
from the battlefield. But by the early 50s, mid-50s, people had been working tirelessly to make it more productive, to raise the level of education, to raise the level of contribution that people make. There was already a let's have a ban the bomb, maybe someday we'd have to kill each other. Plenty of good ideas and lots of manners and discipline. Self-restraint was the thing of the day. It was never thought about going off on someone or, you know.
Yes.
And the world was moving in all the right directions. And to my lament, again, I feel like I was in this golden cusp. You know, I didn't even have to fight in Vietnam. That's how perfect my placement was. They stopped the draft 1 year before I was eligible. So the whole thing happened. And what did we do with it? This what we're fighting, what you and I are trying to fight now, is something that was well understood long ago. Why we're doing remedial work on it, I would love your thought. Why are we going back over things that we already learned?
It's because we've decided to trade our instant gratification or our thought of freedom of power of choice for morality.
Correct.
For standards that do not change and value. And the problem with not having any moral compass, any moral standard that never changes, any definition of love and marriage that does not change, that only includes edifying one another, the problem with that is we have interpretations of millions of people of what they believe it is. And this is what's happened to our society. For me, that's what happened when I decided to move away from religion for a while and try to figure things out on myself. It was up for millions of interpretations of people who thought they should do whatever and I should just do, you know, whatever I thought.
Exactly. It's always the open-ended.
The problem with that is
open-ended, aimless.
It just goes back.
I'm sorry.
Yes, and it goes back to the decline of our society as
yes.
a whole,
yes.
the decline of marriage, and
yes.
you have one in three women being abused now, and nobody's talking about it.
You are, and you are going to be back on the. You're
here.
Coming back on this show. I'll tell you what, whatever it takes to keep you
well,
booked
great.
On a regular basis. No, because you're scratching the surface here. Look, I've been doing, as I said, decades of covering issues. But one thing that's been different this year, I did this deliberately because last year was a year of a tumult. It was a turnover year. It was a chaotic a chain of events, and I love that. I think that's part of nature. That's like a crazy rainstorm, the aurora borealis, whatever you got. You know, we always have these kind of – but this year – we've dedicated the show to the kind of interview you and I are in the middle of. And that's a bigger picture. Instead of going inch by inch and dot by dot, we're trying to get a bigger view. And I'm going to present this to you, and I cannot wait to hear your reaction. And we have a couple of minutes, so
okay.
you don't have to give me the 30-second version. I'll take the 2-minute version. I was again born into this era previously mentioned called the 50s, that now it's very chic. To mock it, put it down, trash it, minimize it. But yet, that's where I came along. Soon after my arrival, the obsession with a fast divorce swept the nation. Mm-hmm. Vegas went crazy mm-hmm. with it. Other states bent over backwards to pick up the revenue. And all of a sudden, marriage was like a one sheet. It was no different than a menu at a restaurant. If you get the right person, you could get it torn up, and no matter whose last name is what, it doesn't matter what babies, it doesn't matter anything that was said. It's all over now because one person tore it up, and I paid the fee, and goodbye. And when people bought in, now again, you got to be careful. Obviously, there are always going to be these marriages that are horrible, and they have to be terminated. And we do understand that. That's human nature. But when it became popular to have one and to fresh start in your 30s and blow off your 11-year-old kid with the responsible one, not to mention the pain and suffering you left behind, the suicide, the pills, how many people hung themselves in the garage, turned on, none of that ever enters anybody's mind when they're, you know, hitting the refresh button on their own desires. We followed it up nonstop, again, this was like right out in the open, with the abortion. Now that we're acting like this, we have pregnancies popping up all over the place we don't want. Surprise, surprise. Now we're the whores of Babylon, and now there's all these, what are we going to do with these pregnancies? Well, it absolutely must be done. I'm sorry? Absolutely. We've looked at it every which way, you know. The court this, the scientists that. We got sonograms. We got everything you need. But absolutely, no matter what, this is what we're doing. And so we were at the beginning of the 70s. Marriage, zero value. Pregnancy, zero value. And, oh, then we're going to have much better families. Oh, boy, society's going to be much better off. So, please, again, this is how I see the history that I feel like I witnessed. You think there's any connection?
Absolutely, there's a connection. The whole connection is every time you were talking, it was completely about what we individually want. There is no thought or care about what the other person is about and who they are. The way you're describing things and the way it has gone is people walk into a marriage thinking they're absolutely perfect and they do nothing wrong. Meanwhile, they have, you know, they fall in love and say, oh, this person's wonderful. And the minute something happens, they don't go for counseling. They don't go to say, okay, do I have a definition of marriage wrong? Or, you know, can we both work through this? Let's be committed. Let's, you know, we fell in love for a reason. Let's see it through. Because
you give
neither
your
one
word.
Of us are
you
perfect.
Give your word. Pump. You know, I used to, it was always blowing my mind that, first of all, 99% of the marriages when I was young take place in some kind of religious environment. So whether you're
yes.
in a Shabbat or you're at the cathedral
yes.
or you're wherever you are, you, first thing, mm-hmm. are giving your word before God. So you would think that trumps no matter what's going on, because you made that deal with him, and these deals are very sacred. But no, there's the other people. You made this pledge. I take you, you take me, death. And then you go, death to your part, sickness. I mean, all this stuff seemed to be instantly.
I hate to interrupt you, but I need to interrupt you with this point, Ed, because this is key for you to understand, and me too. This was key for me. People get locked in religion, but it's not about religion. It's about what does God's word say about what a marriage looks like. And basically, it is totally, he treats you like you were Christ, and you treat him like he was Christ.
That's it.
That's exactly the vision. And if that happened, how would we treat one another?
You're in. That's a civilization that will not break. That is a civilization that will spread good. Well, I tell you, you know what? You know, it's funny. I'm a Yankees fan, so I have infinite.
Yep.
I have infinite hope that no matter how dark the skies get, inevitably the Yankees still come back at some point and win. Right? So you give me that same vibe. I can't thank you enough for the time today. I'm up against the news, which, as I said earlier, this is just the beginning of a long dialogue that we're going to have on the air. The issue is...
Thank you, Ed.
Beautifully articulated by you, understood. Your handling of it with where I think we need to do the most work, which is with the people who don't understand it at all, right? To get it, to get light into the darkest corners. You do a great job at that. Now, the book comes out when? When is the book going to publish?
We're still on a date of that. I think it's going to be next fall, probably around October.
Oh, gosh. Well, you'll be back so many times before then.
Yeah.
All right. So you and I will chat many times before that, but I cannot wait for the publication of your book. All right. Have a great day. You did great work on a Monday. If people want to reach out to you, the website I see is www.godstransforminggrace.com. Does that work?
Yes, it is. And they can get a free 6-page handout spelling this out. What 4 core aspects fuel troubled and abusive Christian marriages?
You're awesome. What a pleasure to meet you
and have you
on the show today. Our guest has been, what a great half hour, Darla Collinette. What a beautiful name and what a tough subject. Cannot wait for the book to come out. We have so much more to talk about on this subject. Thank you.
Thank you so much.